Lieutenant Bondal stared at his status board.
The captain asketh and the admiral respondeth.
Baron pulled himself away from another daydream, this one of himself rescuing Esme Suiza from faceless blood horde goons.
Sir?
All that vidscan that's supposed to be watching every square centimeter of this ship, which in theory could find the intruders?
Yes.
Isn't there, or isn't working, and the captain has quite reasonably asked the 14th to come to his aid. So we, you and I, for example, replace, install, and somehow I suspect the intruders, whoever they are, will manage to undo what we did right after us.
I hope not. Why doesn't the captain seal off the different wings? He could do that, couldn't he?
He could blow us all to Kingdom Come if he wanted to, or turn off the artificial gravity, or... I don't know why he's done what he's done, or why he'll do what he's doing. It's not my problem. Scan is my problem. I know you went to inventory only an hour or so ago, Ensign, but you'll have to go back.
That's what ensigns are for. That's what you said yesterday. Scut work, gophering.
I'm making smart-ass remarks. Yes, you're well on your way to a successful career as an ensign, my boy.
Baron winced dramatically. Lieutenant Bondal had a freakish sense of humor, but was easy to work with if he thought it was appreciated. And he knew his business, which made the teasing worthwhile. Traffic in the corridors was down except for the line still backed up at the ID station. Baron flashed his pink pass at the guard before entering the lift tube. It was like being back at school, where you'd had to have a hall slip to use the toilet. He decided not to make that remark to the grim-faced guard watching him. In the aftermath of the ship-wide identification verifications, Baron understood why the automatic inventory racks had been disabled. With hostiles aboard, the captain didn't want anyone confused by the sudden shift of a rack. If it shifted now, they'd know it was enemy action. Still, that made retrieving a component stored on the second-to-top rack at the rear a time-consuming procedure. He looked up, checking the rack numbers. Yes, 58 GD4 was up there, and what he needed should be on it. He looked at the maintenance ladder with its warning signs and tangle of safety harness. Danger. Vibration from moving racks. Clip in before using. But the racks wouldn't be moving, and putting on the harness would slow him down. On the other hand, he'd look pretty stupid if he slipped for some reason and broke an arm. Lieutenant Bondal would be furious. They were short-handed already, what with the intruder scare. The harness felt awkward. He was three-quarters sure he didn't need it. The safety clip fit around a rod beside the ladder steps, but had to be unclipped and reclipped every five or six rungs. He glanced around. He hoped no one was watching his clumsy caution. Up the first level, then the second. It was annoying to stop and unclip and clip every single time, even though he was getting faster at it.
Damn!
Baron's heart raced a moment, then quieted. It had to be a crewmate. The last reported sighting of the hostiles had been two decks down and over on the starboard side, a kilometer away and only 5 minutes before. Should he call out and identify himself? Probably.
Yo!
Who else is here?
From his perch, now eight racks off the deck, Baron could see a brown head moving along an aisle, a familiar uniform, though the angle was wrong to see insignia.
You all right?
Fine. Up here.
The person looked up and grinned.
You hear me trip over the vent hatch someone left undogged?
Vent hatch undogged? Where?
The man pointed back toward the compartment entrance. Baron saw by his stripes that he was a sergeant minor.
Back there. Inboard ventilation access hatch. Probably some idiot guardsman went through looking for the bad guys and forgot to close it behind him.
We can hope.
Baron felt cold and he wasn't sure why. He glanced around. The inventory racks ran up to the overhead, 15 meters from the deck, divided by aisles and cross aisles, usually humming with robotic carriers. He couldn't see far in any direction but along that one aisle. The racks he climbed beside were a half meter high, but the ones across from him were a full meter, some full and some partly empty. Plenty of room for someone to hide, even in the half meter racks.
What were you looking for?
57 GD11, code number 3362F3B. Scrubber port covers. Should be around here somewhere.
I'm on 58 GD4, if that's any help.
Baron watched as the other man peered at one rack after another.
Here it is.
The other man started up the ladder of a stack two down from Baron without putting on the harness. Baron started to say something to him, but shrugged. He hadn't needed his own harness so far. He turned back to his own ladder. He had a long way to go. By the time he was up 10 more levels, he was breathing hard. A vertical 15 meters wasn't like the short 3-meter ladders he was used to. The climbing wall was only 10 meters. Still, he was over halfway. He looked up. The remaining racks seemed to loom over him. He glanced around for the other climber. No sign of him.
Did he just find his items and leave?
Baron leaned out against the safety belt, trying to see. Nothing. When he looked down, nothing but deck showing in the aisle. Odd. He'd have expected the other man to say something when he left. Baron shrugged, finally, and climbed up another rack level, reaching up over his head to clip in the safety line.
That's odd.
As his eyes came level with the rack edge, the cold, round muzzle of a riot gun prodded him under the chin. It looked exactly like the ones that ship security carried.
Don't move.
Baron stiffened for a moment he would later realize was critical. Then someone grabbed his ankles. He arched back, trying to kick loose. The barrel of the gun slammed into the side of his head hard enough to stun. He struggled, but now something had caught his safety harness and pulled him hard against the ladder. His feet, then his arms, and finally another blow to the head that dropped him into a dark hole where he was only vaguely aware of being dragged off the ladder and onto the chill metal mesh of the inventory rack. Baron felt too many things to sort out easily. His feet bumping over some surface with regular obstructions. His shoulders painfully cramped from the traction on his arms. His head throbbed, with occasional flashes of brighter pain that left ghostly spikes across his vision. Other things hurt too. His ribs, his left hip, his wrists. But where was he? He tried to ask this, but choked on the gag in his mouth. Something soft, cloth or another soft material, that he could not spit out, though he tried. The part of his brain that could think suggested caution, waiting to see what happened. But between the choking and the dark, his body's instincts opted for action. He flared his nostrils, trying to suck in more air, and twisted as hard as he could.
You're a Serrano?
Baron concentrated on breathing. His nose felt like a pillow-sized mass of pain, and no air went that way. His captors had loosened the gag so he could breathe through his mouth. It had been clear that this was a privilege they could revoke at any moment. He could barely see through his eyelashes, which seemed to be glued together. When he tried to blink, his eyelids hurt and his vision didn't clear.
We don't like Serranos, but we do recognize your value as a hostage. For now, you might even be valuable enough to let live past the capture of this vessel. It's possible that you'd even make it to Athar's world. A Serrano in the arena would be a profitable attraction.
The small part of Baron's brain that was still rational realized that these must be Blood Horde soldiers, the hostiles that everyone was searching for. His memory dredged up a précis of what Fleet Intelligence knew about the arena on Athar's world.
Well, that's one reaction. Personally, I always look forward to Fight Week.
He could be that knock on the head.
No, he's a Serrano, and I have done good authority that they are solid granite all the way through.
It was not a good sign that his captors were talking so much. It meant they felt safe. They must be somewhere they did not expect to be found, or overheard, which meant they'd done something to the ship's sensors. The stench of vomit didn't seem to bother his captors. They left the gag loose, which argued that they didn't want him to choke on his vomit if he heaved again. He blinked, and one eye cleared suddenly, giving him a view of uniforms that looked exactly like his own, only cleaner. A Wraith ship patch on the arm nearest him, with the stripes of a corporal. He couldn't see the name tag. Another beyond. He blinked again, and his other eye came unstuck. Now he could see that one was watching him closely, cool gray eyes in a broad face. The name tag read Santini. The stripes indicated a pivot major. The expression said killer, and proud of it. Baron struggled to regain the moral high ground. He knew what was expected of a Serrano in a tight fix. Triumph, despite all odds. Escape, certainly. Capture the bad guys, ideally. All it took was brains, which he had, and courage and physical fitness, both of which he was supposed to have. His grandmother could do it in her sleep. Any of the great Serranos could. He didn't feel like a great Serrano. He felt like a boy with no experience, whose nose was at least as big as a parpon ball, who hurt all over, who was surrounded by big, dangerous men who intended to kill him. In other words, helpless. He hated feeling helpless. But even that resentment couldn't wake the surge of defiant anger he needed.
Do it anyway.
If he couldn't feel brave, he could still use his brain. He let his eyelids sag almost shut again. That man was not a pivot major named Santini, but he had a name. And perhaps his companions would use it. He might learn what it was, even though he didn't know their language. At least he should be able to figure out the command structure of this group just by observation. Baron felt a sharp tug at his hair. He opened his eyes again.
You don't need to sleep, boy.
The man's voice had a hard, contemptuous edge that even his first academy instructors had not used. They had not cared if he passed or failed. This man did not care if he lived or died.
You need to learn what you are.
Someone behind him laid something cold and hard along the side of his neck. The man across from him grinned. Pain exploded in his neck. Before he could scream, the filthy gag was back in his mouth. Tears streamed from his eyes. His whole body shuddered. Then it was over.
That's what you are. Entertainment. Keep it in mind.
Baron nodded, and they all stood. He was yanked to his unsteady feet and dragged along with them as they moved off down a passageway he had never seen before. And not a single vidscan pickup in sight.
The Serrano Legacy, Once a Hero, is continued on the next CD.